you did last summer. Just lie to me, there's no other. I know what you did last summer. Tell me where you've been. I know what you did last summer. Look me in the eyes, my lover. I know what you did last summer. Tell me where you've been. You're listening to The Morgue, also known as The Screamcast, a slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga. I'm sorry, I totally was expecting you to say, Dan, you're Mountain Man.
Which will make so much sense to everyone who listens to only this podcast.
We have another podcast. Anyway, I'm Olga, and today we're discussing the first two episodes of Scream Season 2, entitled I Know What You Did Last Summer and Psycho.
Psycho. Both horror films.
Correct. Ooh, I wonder if that's going to mean that all of the titles of this
season... Yeah, I was wondering that. That would be kind of cool.
You know. Can they pull it off?
I mean, I liked Psycho, that title, more. I Know What You Did Last Summer felt like a little bit too on the nose.
Yeah.
And, like, Psycho felt more tongue-in-cheek. Like, you know, because it felt more like, oh, like, it's fun because it really does connect with the idea of the episode as opposed to just, like, they straight-out said it.
Yeah.
I Know What You Did Last Summer in the episode.
Yeah, although they didn't actually have any slashing taking place in episode 2.
Yeah.
A la Psycho.
Yeah.
Screech, 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 screech.
That's been done enough times by other things, let's be honest.
That's fair.
Alright, so spoilers for the first two episodes, and for all season 1, obviously. So let's sort of reintroduce ourselves in case somebody is jumping on who's new or whatever. Just a little quick thing. I'm Dan, and I am a horror fan, a longtime horror fan. I went to school for film. I love me some television. And this is my girlfriend, Olga.
Hi.
Who thinks I'm
here
crazy.
To laugh at Dan's jokes, mostly. No. Am I, though? I have some self-analyzing to do. But, hi, my name's Olga. I did not study or do anything related to film in college.
But he did do biology, so he can complain about how Emma's stomach isn't slashed enough.
Well, that's just, like, seemingly a filming error, so whatever. Where was I? Yeah, I finished college with a biology degree that I don't plan on using, but I also spent a lot of time watching television.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that she is using.
And I am always using that. Right. And I'm a new horror... I wouldn't say I'm a new horror fan, but I can confidently say now that I think I'm into this slasher genre.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Dan kind of turned
me.
He made it happen, folks. Love does crazy things.
So the interesting thing that we sort of realized is... So I had started this podcast with Nare, and then you jumped in for the final two episodes because Nare went to France.
Yep. She abandoned you.
Yeah, and... You hadn't seen any of the Scream movies before...
Any of them.
We finished all of season 1, you hadn't seen any of them. So now you've seen 3 of them, we're gonna see 4, hopefully soon.
Yeah.
You have a little bit more perspective on the show coming into season 2.
I know, to the point where it actually, in retrospect, I kind of forgot that I didn't see the Scream movies before the first season. I wonder what would happen if I rewatched it. Mm-hmm. Now, because I, in preparation for Nare leaving, I, like, binged
season one
up to the finales. So, that was a crazy week and a half of, like, I don't even like the genre, but okay, I'll do it because it'll be fun. And then it's like, what's happening? I want to keep podcasting on this stuff. All right, let's do it.
All right, so you saw that we are obviously doing these first two together. We weren't able to do the first one by itself in time. And that's because our schedules, especially this summer, are particularly crazy right now. And, like, Nara can't even really fill in because she's 6 hours ahead of time. So when I get out of work, it's midnight for her. And so, yeah, so it's looking like our aim is going to be to release episodes Wednesday nights. And to be every other Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll do them in two episode chunks. So there's 14 episodes, so we'll do 7 podcasts. And we're sorry, but life is life. And
yeah, you know, I know what we did last summer, and we're doing a lot more this summer.
That was good.
Was it? I felt like I forced it.
I liked it.
All right. Okay.
I'm a fan.
Tweet me to tell me if you like my jokes. I promise not to change them, even if you don't.
All right, so we're going into this episode 1, I Know What You Did Last Summer. And we're going to do some grading, which we haven't done grading in a while.
I know. We don't normally grade things.
I know.
But like I said, we have another podcast.
Yeah.
The 100 podcast.
Yeah.
That one, we do not grade our episodes.
So, for me, I really like this premiere. I actually, especially like on the MTV Scream scale, I'm thinking like an A-. I actually thought it was one of their best episodes. I really enjoyed it. I didn't really know what to think coming into this premiere.
Yeah.
We kind of left season one on kind of a sour note for my taste, and it's been so long now that I was like, well, it's a fun summer show.
Well, remind me why you felt, like, I know why I felt like it was a slightly sour note, but why don't you tell new listeners why it was sour for you?
I mean, I guess felt like Piper was kind of a lame reveal.
Yeah.
Nobody of consequence really died in the finale. It was kind of a lackluster finale. The final confrontation wasn't that. Like, I just really didn't love that finale.
Yeah.
I did think the Audrey reveal was cool, but at least how we left it, I was like, okay, but how does this last? How is this going to be enough?
Yes.
You know, and I will say that coming into this episode now, seeing it, I'm really intrigued by this Audrey stuff. And it feels fresh. It feels like something I haven't seen before.
That's very true. That's a really good way of putting
it. And that's a really important thing for this show, because a lot of it is things that I've seen before. You know? And so this is like one of those things where it's like, that actually makes it better that it's a TV show that we have this. Now, I do think it's difficult. Like, how do you possibly, like, does Audrey have to die? Well, we can get to that in a bit.
Right.
But, like, how does that sustain itself?
How does it resolve either?
You know, like, is she going to be in jail? Is she going to be dead? Is she just going to be allowed to keep going after? You know, like, what?
Yeah. It brings up good questions. It definitely does. The reason the finale was sour for me was similar for you. Just Piper was underwhelming and obvious, even for me, who had not seen
Scream 3.
Yeah. So, and it's very hard for me to actually grade it, because I don't really remember individual episodes as much. Because
you
binged it, but I think I would I'd have to put it at like a B+.
Yeah.
Mostly just because the highlights of the episode are just like Audrey.
Yeah.
And I guess Jake in like the surprise of Jake.
Now, I actually, it's funny because it's hard for me to think now. We'll get to episode two in a bit, but we both were much less fans of episode two. I thought it was a huge step down.
Absolutely.
And it's funny because a big part of why I thought it was a huge step down was the Emma and Kieran stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think it was that great in episode two. I actually didn't mind it in episode one. I felt like, yes, we've kind of seen stuff like this before, but I did feel like at least it made Emma more interesting. Like, she was so basic in season one, and I felt like, okay, she's, like, legitimately dealing with trauma.
Yeah.
She's struggling. Kieran's dad is dead now. Like, at least there's, like, there's more there for me now.
Yeah.
Rather than just, like, she's a high school girl and she blah, blah, blah.
So definitely, I definitely agree about, like, oh, she's more complex because of the trauma.
Yeah.
But at the same time, now I'm just like, yeah, but now she's all trauma.
Yeah.
So there's still not really that much complexity. It's just,
well, that's how I definitely feel by episode two. In episode one, I was like, there's something intriguing potentially here.
I didn't really feel it. And I think I'll get to it more when we go through it. But it was mostly, like, kind of a breakdown scene.
Yeah, well, that scene was not great.
It didn't help their case. So
I did like Noah. I think that he was kind of more of a jerk in this episode.
I didn't like Noah this episode because he was more of a jerk.
I didn't mean like I want to be his pal.
Right.
I meant like I thought that was a good layer to add to his character, because I still think he is likable, but there's like he's more human now. And he's not just, like, the geeky, nice, good guy who loves, you know, like, he's more of a fully fleshed out person, I feel like.
For me, it feels like a weirdly random new character
trait
that they didn't at all really show in season one.
I don't agree.
They kind of, like, stuffed in to make him seem more complex.
I don't know. I feel like it makes sense that he would be kind of, that he's not very, is a little bit callous and doesn't really think about what he's saying through that much. I think that kind of has been true from the beginning, because from the very beginning he's been excited and intrigued about everything that's happening. And if you were like that in real life, where these things are actually happening. You know, like, and I actually really liked that his line about this is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to us. And Emma's like, it's the worst thing that ever happened to us. And I was like, I think that that was in him from the beginning. And I think that that is an interesting layer and is something makes him stand out as a little bit different from everybody else.
It definitely makes him stand out. It just doesn't feel like the character that I knew before. And it was just sudden. That's the thing. It was a sudden, drastic change where, because it's not like he was not being warned about his insensitive behavior. It was people were like, don't be insensitive. And then he continues to be insensitive. And I feel like that wasn't Noah. The Noah who we saw in season one was more like prone to embarrassing himself and putting his foot in his mouth and like feeling that embarrassment. And here it was just like, I want this thing. Yeah. I'm going to push until I get it.
See, it's like, I have a couple things about that. One is that it didn't feel jarring to me because I haven't watched that character in so long. So I wasn't like, oh, this is totally not true.
Me neither.
Yeah. But also, they do throw in a line about how we all cope in our own way. And I do think that that's part of it. It's supposed to be that he is literally like obsessing about everything.
Well, murder board.
Yeah. But like not just like in the like, oh, I'm a weird eccentric guy. Like he is like literally can't think about other things.
Yeah.
And so I think that that kind of that he it's making him go a little too far. And I don't know. Personally, I really like it. But let us.
I don't hate it. I just was jarred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a step back and talk about Emma a little bit more. So, Willa Fitzgerald. So, we have this whole girl interrupted thing. She comes back from being away. Now, you thought it was 3 months. I feel like I missed whether there was an actual...
I'm so unsure of what the time period was.
Yeah, it's unclear, because we were talking about, like, does it make sense that she even is able to jump back into her classes and everything?
Yeah.
You know, it was an interesting way to sort of start it off. I do totally agree with you that her breakdown scene, that flashback, was really subpar.
Yeah.
It was just, she just, like, kind of crumpled and was sad.
Like, I mean, and that's not to say that everyone has a breakdown is
But it's a
different.
TV show.
But it's a TV show, yeah. And they're making a big deal, like, ever since Emma's breakdown, and then everyone at school saw, and it was a big deal, so I was expecting it at some sort of major event or in front of a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've seen people crying on stairways in high school because of, like, that, because of a bad grade on a test. Like, you know, it wasn't visually
crying on stairways. I thought you said on steroids, and I was like,
No. On stairways. Your school? I don't know. Maybe they were on steroids. Maybe that's why they were so easily emotional. Yeah. I don't know.
No, I've seen like people punch through walls because they got a B-.
Yeah, but, you know, people from where we're from are melodramatic about their academic lives. But point is, her just like crying. We know that her trauma was real.
Yeah,
but it just didn't seem like that much of a big deal visually.
Yeah, and I'll say, I feel like there's something about Willa Fitzgerald that I think is like, I do like her, and so like I don't want to be like she's not doing a good job, but she is uneven.
Oh yeah,
like there's times where I feel like she is good, and I feel like she has an innate like likability, but. Even with the script being what it was, other actors could have sold that more.
Yeah.
But I still think even if it was better acted, that it still wouldn't have been enough. They need more style to the shots, more than it's like a blue filter, you know, like...
Yeah.
It was just... It was a little lackluster.
And what was it? The tilted frame?
Yeah,
what?
The canted.
Canted angle.
Yeah, or a duck angle.
Oh, that's a new one. I didn't know about that one.
But it's the same thing.
I know, but like that
terminology... So, yeah, that was a little lackluster. I do think it's interesting. I especially was thinking in episode two, I was tweeting with people about how Emma is just, unfortunately, gets the most screen time, but is one of the least interesting people.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, a kind of ongoing issue with the show where I almost wanted them to really surprise us and kill her in episode one of season two. You know, like, I don't think it's impossible to make her more interesting, but the problem is that you're right. She is, like, all victim, all sadness, and like there is like a relatability to like her struggles, but I need like the Sydney level of like badassery or intelligence or comedy.
Yeah, like, she just kind of is just blah. She's blah. Yeah, I don't really know what else. Like, oh, there's that. We'll get through. We have to try. But like, so many of her character motivations don't. Really, her character decisions are borderline badass, but they actually end up not making sense. They're just coming off as stupid.
Yeah.
Like, wanting to go back to
the house
without the police. Yeah. Like, that was just dumb of you.
Yeah, like, the most you, yeah, most you can hope for is saying he's brave, but yeah, most of the time it's just, like, stupidly brave.
Yeah.
Even if Audrey didn't have this great storyline, Audrey is funny. Audrey has a sense of style and interests that are interesting.
Personality.
Know, like, yeah, yeah, so, like, I don't know, it's difficult. It's unfortunate that she is, you know, their center is one of their lower level players, I'd say. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about acting as much as just the character.
Yeah.
All right, what else do we want to talk about? We actually talked about her dream thing. So she starts having this dream motif of this barn. I didn't really get much out of this.
I didn't love it. I was like, oh, as soon as I saw it, because this was before we knew the classroom dream talk.
Yeah.
Ooh. You can tell I'm not super excited about that theme, but yeah. But also, just as soon as I saw it, I rolled my eyes and was like, I don't want to watch a show that has it. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a well.
That's been hit too many times.
Too many times.
And they pointed it out, but that doesn't just stand.
No, it doesn't mean that they're doing it well. Like, yeah. That's the thing. If you do something new or original with it, they didn't really, yeah. Except do meta commentary on it, which I thought was new, done yeah. in a douchey way. So, yeah.
As far as, yeah, because you were kind of still pissed at Noah at that point.
Not still. That actually is what made me actually pissed. Like, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt when he was like, but I want to ask her to do my podcast.
Yeah.
This was when I was like, Noah, you're being a dick.
Yeah.
In front of your friend. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're just trying to prove you're smarter than everybody else in the room.
Yeah. As far as the dream, I didn't love the dream, but I did like some of the stuff with Emma and Kieran in episode one. I did kind of like them trying to reconnect and her not being able to be touched because of the scar,
mm-hmm.
and then him having to leave because of her night terrors and stuff like that. I thought that was all solid enough.
Yeah.
And their sort of resolution, I thought, was solid enough as far as, like, trying to sort of help each other through it instead of keeping it to themselves and trying to, like, work through it together.
Was that more in episode two, though?
No, it was, episode one, their ending sort of thing they left the two of them on was her saying, you can't just bottle this stuff up. We need to be able to help each other come back.
Okay.
So I liked that, yeah, I mean, personally, I actually kind of related to this scene because, I mean, you and I have both had a really tough year this past year. We're both mm-hmm. struggling with a lot of stuff. And especially, I mean, I straight up, my dad died in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in that way, I totally was like, yeah, the two idea of two messed up people trying to find a way to not be messed up by working together, I thought that was pretty cool.
It is on principle. Like, that's, yeah. of course, a very relatable thing. But they're so bland that I am like, I don't want to compare us to them. I feel like we're more interesting, at least from my perspective.
I can see that. But, you know, I still think it was a step up from where they had been.
That's fair, yeah. Considering he was, like, replacement boyfriend.
Yeah, and especially was, like, just there to be like, is the boyfriend a murderer?
That's true.
And it's like, this was, like, kind of our first real episode with him.
Yeah. You know, like, when I think of it like that, yeah. It's, whoa, he's a person now, and he's clearly also going through stuff for a reasonable reason.
Yeah.
His dad is murdered, and he has to go through that. So, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was tainted now by episode two a bit, so.
Yeah. All right, let's go on to Maggie. There's not much to say about her other than that Emma sort of seems to hate her in this episode. I thought it was particularly funny, like, that nobody seems to care that she lost Clark, and that she doesn't even seem to care that she lost Clark. Like, I'm just like, you don't understand me. And I'm like, well, she's the one who had her, like, almost husband kill.
Yeah.
You had your ex-boyfriend who cheated on you get killed.
Well, it wasn't her almost husband. Yeah. It was her boyfriend.
It was, like, clearly leading towards that way.
Well.
But.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Adult relationships are very different.
All right, let's get to the good stuff. So let's talk about Audrey. So, just very fun to watch her. We have this intro with a movie within the show. This Murderville thing and this ridiculous open with this girl yelling for her dog Butterscotch over and over
that
and over again.
That was freaking annoying.
I did enjoy the slut shame killer.
That was funny. That was good commentary.
And I was very happy to realize that it was a movie because I, for some reason, honestly, it had been so long since I'd watched the show that I was like, is the show just this stupid?
I had that fear.
Especially because we knew it was, like, new showrunners and stuff, too.
I didn't.
Oh, yeah, it's new showrunners and
stuff. I mean, I might have at one point.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, God, is this butterscotch thing legit?
Butterscotch.
So I did
the
like
series.
Once we knew it was a movie, I did like enjoy them. So that campiness more, and I rewatched the episode, so I liked that more the second time through. I do think it's a little bit lame in the context of the Scream movies, as far as like this is just like in the TV show they're watching a horror movie, as opposed to like a TV show within the TV show that actually comments on the show.
Yeah.
Or like even if it was a movie based on the events
based on
of the
like
TV
you,
show.
Yeah.
Like, so it was just like, it was just kind of for fun as opposed to actually being utilized. I mean, I will say that I think like the slut shame thing was kind of in line with like the tone of like hashtag mind blown and stuff like that. But yeah, it was just kind of like, it was fun, but it could have been more.
Do you know how long I've forgotten about hashtag mind blown? I let it go and you brought it back.
But then we get to the really good stuff, which is the big prank and the concession music and that whole...
That was a great underlying, like...
That whole set piece, even though I think both of us realized it probably... That both Haley, the girl, was probably in on it and that it was probably a prank. I still think that set piece was, like, one of the best things I'd done on the show.
I agree.
Yeah.
I still agree.
Like, that... Yeah. I do feel like that was movie level.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that was a really cool scene. It was shot well. It was stylized. You know, and it did, I didn't right away think it was a
trick.
Me neither.
Because
there was the guy walking behind her stealing the keys and everything.
Yeah.
And it was episode one where I was like, you know, maybe they're gonna, I thought for a second, not very long, but for a second, are they gonna, you know, this series is known for killing off someone major that you think is gonna be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought for a second, are they actually gonna kill off Audrey?
I thought that this might be a jump forward in time, and that then we would jump backwards back to, like, what is her involvement and then her potentially being killed.
Yeah.
But for me, as soon as I saw the guy live streaming it, I was like, suspicious. And then as soon as the girl Haley
was
stabbed,
I
was like, okay, this is fake. But I loved how Audrey reacted to it.
Yeah, the best part of it, aside from the concession music, was her actually stabbing him, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
And that shows that's great for her character, and it was a great, like, oh my god moment, because they were just pranksters.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool, and I do think it's interesting, because the live stream thing, to me, made me go, oh, they're doing Scream 4,
which is the one I haven't
seen. Yeah, so it's like, oh, it's all about, you know, live streaming and social media age and what are killings now. So I was like, oh, they're giving an homage to that.
They could have still been giving an homage to that. Yeah. They just subverted expectations.
I also wouldn't be surprised if the actual killer has been filming stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to say, a lot of people complained when this show first came out, that they changed the Scream mask and that they changed, like, the aesthetic of Ghostface.
Uh-huh.
I actually think that I prefer this version. In that it's... Well, like, I get why, like, at the time, like, especially in the first movie, I think it really works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the original costume and everything. And it was, and I don't dislike... Like, I like the original Ghostface. But it doesn't seem scary. Like, that mask doesn't seem scary to me anymore because it's so iconic.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this slight tweak still pays on, like, still pays something to it, but the way they shoot the killer, I do think they do a really good job of making him actually creepy.
I agree. It's also, frankly, I like the fact that it makes it an individual. Like, it is still in the spirit of Scream.
Yeah.
But it is its own killer. It's its own legend.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So we move on from the concession stabbing. I do want to talk about the use of texting and how it just doesn't, like, when they're on the phone with the killer, like they were in the movies, I think it works so much better than the texting.
I agree.
Like, when you see the texting void of that voice and that, like, a creepy delivery, the text just kind of seem lame, you know?
I don't know. I mean, they're ominous.
Sometimes, but I feel like other times it just kind of reveals that all, like, on the paper, most of the Scream phone calls are, like, not that well written. You know, it's just, but because they're performed, they're creepy, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like the texting is just, like, sometimes here and there it's creepy, but most of the time it's just, like, it seems like just too on the nose. Like, when he says, get it, I know what you did, like...
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but I definitely prefer the phone calls, yeah. And I can see that if they rely on the text messages so much, like they do in episode 2,
yeah,
that it'll get less... Yeah. I will not really feel like... I mean, this could be on purpose because it's still keeping even the identity and the personification of the killer. It's keeping it even more mysterious because you're not even hearing a masked voice as much. It could literally be anyone. They are just texting. They're just typing.
Yeah.
It could be multiple people again.
I do think that they are... from scene one, basically, of this show, which started with all the comments about Audrey on YouTube and everything, that they really have been trying to infuse this, like, millennial, you know, social media egg thing to it. And I did like the... I think that's part of why the texting is a thing in it. But I also think that the social media trolls that she has on the podcast, I did like that.
Okay.
The idea of people meeting each other through that and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty solid.
Yeah.
And I really liked her ending scene in the bathroom with all the letters.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Yeah, that was solid. And hearing her voice, and we still don't really know how involved she was, so it's creepy both for her.
Your friend, not my friend. Sorry, I messed that up.
I might have been my friend, because it was from Audrey's point of view.
Yeah, but it was your friend, Audrey. Your friend.
Yeah.
Like, echoing.
For sure. And I just think that it was... This whole plotline works really well because we don't know how involved she was. We don't know how sympathetic to be. And, like, even if she was slightly involved, I still feel kind of sympathetic because she's a likable character. Like, it puts you in an interesting position, you know? All right, let's move on to Noah.
I don't know how much more I have to say about Noah, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the podcasting thing for obvious reasons.
Wow, wonder why.
I mean, it's funny because, like, it isn't a meta thing in the show, but for me it feels really meta because I'm doing a podcast about a show that heavily features a podcaster, which doesn't happen very much.
No, it really doesn't. So I like the fact that he's continuing the spirit of what Piper was doing.
Yeah, and that it's even more that he's like, we're podcasting on a show where one of the main characters podcasts about the show. It's not just that he's a podcaster. He's literally podcasting about the same things we are.
Yeah.
Which is...
It's another example of meta. And so I like that aspect of it. I can understand why he'd want to interview Emma.
Yeah.
I really just... After now having seen the Scream movies.
Yeah.
And seeing how well the meta commentary is done there.
Yeah.
And even compare, I feel, from, maybe, yes, I had nothing to compare it to in season one, but now in this episode, in the premiere, it was just so forced, in my opinion, of, like, Noah being a dick in front of Emma and kind of to Emma just to prove his point, and in addition to, like, being already kind of a jerk for wanting to, you know... have her on the podcast for his own. And you made a good point of how they brought up everyone copes differently, and he's clearly still obsessed.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really explain why he has, like, really no regard for his character being different from Randy.
Yeah.
Right, Randy?
Yeah, Randy.
Yeah. It just didn't work for me this time around.
See, now, I do think we could jump to the meta moments because I have a list underneath the characters of the meta moments.
Okay.
But it definitely worked for me, and I actually, even if you feel like it's a shift from the character we knew before, I think it's a shift for the right in the right direction because I personally can't totally dislike him, but now I'm like. Now I feel like he's a complex character because I was like, he is still fun, he's still funny, he still has a nice relationship with Audrey, he still apologizes when things go bad with her, he still is moving the plot forward, but he's not perfect, and I kind of like this whole thing where he's kind of obsessing. I mean, you could potentially read it as him obsessing because of trauma, but it's also him, like, chasing excitement.
Yeah.
And I think that that's interesting.
His life will never be as exciting as it was.
Yeah.
See, I think I'll be fine with it coming going forward.
Yeah.
Because I already was kind of to terms with it in episode two with him chasing leads and wanting to continue. It was just, it was unexpected from the premiere. Yeah. So speaking just about how I felt during the premiere, didn't love Noah's character. Mm. Will I adjust and be okay with this development and his development?
Yeah.
I think I will. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, so I have a list of a couple, some of the meta moments that I thought were important to talk about. So we have a thing early on in the movie theater where Haley, the prankster, says, "Isn't it crazy how no one ever suspected Piper?" And Audrey said something like, "So they say." And I wasn't sure if this was meta, but I did think that it might have been a commentary on how a lot of the audience was like, how did no one in the world of the show ever pick out Piper as an option?
Yeah.
They picked out everybody else, but no one ever thought of maybe Piper's the Larson.
I know.
Yeah, so that
especially
was,
as viewers.
Yeah.
We were like, come on, she's right there.
So I did enjoy that. I did like Noah saying, don't ever look at the comment section, just because I felt like meta as far as he's an actor, and I'm sure that they then also just the comments about the show and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the whole big thing that you were saying you bothered you as far as calling out the dream trope and how it's used.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual talk about the dream I didn't love, but I did think that they had some interesting, I did kind of like his points about what horror, like him and Zoe's points about like the importance of horror and how it externalizes your issues so that you can sort of overcome them in a clean package and then move on past that.
Yeah.
And so then that leads into Gustavo, which we'll get back to him in a bit. But how he comes in talks about serialized horror, which is much more directly parallel to the TV show.
Yeah.
And talking about,
because it can't end.
Yeah. Talking about the comic book stuff. And yeah, the killing never ends. There's always a twist. Always another cliffhanger. And I think that was a clever piece of meta.
That was the cleverness of the commentary that I liked.
Yeah. Because I don't think, I understand, like, their desire to just, like, have these classroom debate things, but I don't think any of them will ever work as well as when they actually just had a film class in Scream 2.
Yeah.
You know, it's because I do think it's better when it's more organic, like Gustavo being interested in this and talking to someone else who's interested in this.
That's exactly it. Thank you. It just wasn't didn't happen organically.
Yeah.
It didn't feel, like, genuine to the story that they're trying to tell. It's just, like, we need a meta moment.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk about, and we need that music over the,
God.
I actually like the music in this show, but it definitely is like, this is the meta music.
Come on! It like really tries to be like, you're paying attention? If you weren't before, you should be now, because the music's playing. And Emma has her big doe eyes going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Brooke. She's not in black lingerie for once. What happened?
Well,
whole new person.
I was going to say, actually, then in episode two, you thought she was wearing black lingerie. And I was like, no, that's a dress. You're like, how is that a dress? I'm like, well, that's the point.
Don't wear that type of thing in front of your father's kids. She had a couple of small moments I liked. One like very specific moment that I liked was when Noah asked how Jake was. And she's like, not the right question.
I like the fact that they've kind of been forced to unite in friendship over a common experience.
I agree.
So it's like, it's a ragtag group of like weirdos and popular kids, and they're all hanging out together.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
I did like her scene in the pool with Jake. Obviously, that's our last scene with them two together. but I did think it was a pretty solid scene. I don't love Brooke in episode two, which we'll get to, but I think she was fine in episode one. And the one really annoying thing was that she stayed outside like a dumb fuck while Emma went in the house.
Yeah. What if she'd gotten sliced herself?
Yeah. I don't know. People are saying, well, maybe she's the one who was in the house. I'm like, I don't think
so. No. No, I can't agree with that.
So Jake died.
Jake's dead. Cool. He had his, the Grim Reaper came for him. And yeah.
It was violent. Scythed. I mean, I didn't expect, like, before the episode started, I wouldn't have guessed that he would die this quickly.
No.
So it was a big death, and I do feel kind of like he's a loss. You know, like, I did think he added something to the show, but, like, they needed to kill someone like that in the first episode. So he was a good enough pick. Sad to see him go. I think he did add something, but moving on.
Well, the fact of, like, his relationship with Brooke,
they
kind of explored it as much as they could have of the, like, they shouldn't, but they are in season one.
Yeah.
they really didn't have that much more room for it.
Yeah.
But they played it off in a nice enough way where I was not expecting him to be killed.
Yeah.
And then I also wasn't, once it was clear that he was attacked by the killer, the new killer, I thought that it would be like, oh, quick death. And then they stretched that out over the episode kind of skillfully, too.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked
and then it was gruesome.
Did. Yeah.
So.
Now, I think that it's interesting. The one thing that that's a negative here is that it exposes for me another issue of how maybe slashers just don't work on a TV show. And that's that, like, I care too much about these people. And you see too much of their lives. And so, like, I don't really want Brooke to be destroyed. Like, you know, like, it's one thing for Jake to be gone. But, like, I don't want Brooke to be turned into Emma. And you know? And it's like, and then how does that work as far as, like, if now Emma's dealing with a second killer, she is going to be shattered completely? There's a point where it's, like, because you're not just seeing them in 90-minute increments, that it starts to feel more like normal life. And you're like, this is actually dramatic. You know, like, she's
at, you know? Unless it's like, well, the second killer will give her the opportunity to rise up and
But then what happens when season three?
But no. But what I was going to say is, like, she's in no shape or... she has no ability to rise up yet.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on.
And I feel like you almost have to kill off a huge chunk of the cast this season. Because once you're in season three and it's like... Oh, we're all doing this again for the third time.
Yeah.
And we're all already totally broken.
Can I say something bad?
What?
There probably won't be a season three.
I don't know if you're right about that. I think it's doing okay for MTV.
It's got moved to 11.
I don't know if that was because of that or if it was because of the violence and stuff. Because you can get away with more stuff at 11.
I don't disagree about that. And Jake's death was pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how many people are going to stick around to watch it.
We'll see. I mean, it got more episodes this season.
That's true, which I actually kind of wish they had.
I wish they had stuck a 10, too, because there's going to be more filler.
We already think that episode 2 has a lot of filler in it. So, but yeah, that was just me being my usual pessimistic self.
We'll see.
But you bring up a good point in general of, like, well, how many times, you know, there's no breaks for them.
Yeah.
Unless they actually do a skip into college.
They need to take a skip after season two, if they continue. All right, so let's talk about a couple of the newbies. So we have Zoe Vaughn, who is the new student in psych class. She's going to help Emma. She likes horror and seems to have something going with Noah.
How convinced are we that she likes horror?
She straight up said that she was, like, excited about talking about the importance of horror when they were talking about the dreams and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if it's, like, a huge deal for her, but she, like, at least sees the appeal, you know?
See, that's more how I read it, of, like, she's so book smart that she can see the academic value.
I don't know.
I think that's just how I read it.
They're definitely setting her and Noah up, and I feel like she's, like, attracted to Noah's horror thing. So, like...
I saw it as more of, like, he's so smart and so...
Yeah, okay, we don't have a ton.
But that's just kind of how I saw it, where she has that ability to be interested in it, but I didn't read her as, like, an obsessive.
She's a nice introduction. I hope she doesn't die. I hope she isn't just exactly this year's Riley of another interest of...
Oh, remember Riley? Yeah,
Riley was great. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Riley. So, no one mentions the ones that died early. Yeah. They only mention the ones that were recent murders.
Oh, man. Yeah. So then we also get Sheriff Miguel Acosta, who seems nice. I like him. Also, we should throw out more diversity on this show this season, so which is nice because I needed that for sure.
Yeah.
I think he's nice. I liked his introductory scene. The actor's good. He has character.
Yeah. He seems like a nice guy, sympathetic, caring.
Yeah.
Like, not a dumbass. Like, and which we know from the beginning from when the pranking thing happened. He wasn't just like, now you could stop it with this crap about the murders. He was just like, you don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
You, what do you want to do? I'm leaving it in your hand. Like, I liked him.
Yeah, and I liked the scene where Noah was pushing Audrey and he sent Noah away and was like, this is your decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. So we also have his son, Gustavo.
Creepy kid.
Super creepy. Likes horror comics.
Draws in a murdery fashion.
The only comic that he brought up that I had heard of is Hack Slash. He likes them horror comics.
I have heard of zero of the things that he had brought up.
So I had a stupid theory that doesn't make any sense, and this was only episode one. Episode two, I was like, no, that was really stupid. But I was like, could the sheriff be Troy James and Gustavo be his be Brandon James's nephew? But I don't.
Risky move, moving back to the town where.
Yeah, well, because they brought up that he'd already been there once before.
Right, but Emma's mom will definitely recognize him, and it's clearly a small
town. And they
work
together, actually.
Oh yeah, she's the ME.
Yeah. So that's probably not a thing. But there is. They keep throwing in these little things where I'm like, is this like a hint or a red herring? And that was part of the reason why I was bummed about the end of season one, is because I actually thought they did a really good job throughout season one confusing me about what was like actually a hint and what was a red herring.
Yeah.
Because we have little things like, oh, they are from Lakewood already. We have things like Zoe's been through some tough times in the past, which, as we knew with Piper, was a big red flag, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's hard to know what's actually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in Gustavo. I like the actor. We'll see where it goes. He's too obviously the killer, so it can't be him.
He's creepy. He's up to something.
Yeah.
He's up to something.
And that is one of the things that I liked about the show, is that they have more than just the main story.
Right. But now we already know that. Like, there's no way that he's not doing anything. So now it's like, all right, now I have to be on the lookout for like three different people, probably.
We'll see.
Dun, dun, dun. I just really hope they learn from their mistakes and it won't be, by the end, as obvious as Piper.
I also kind of hope it's, like, five people. Which is just...
You said that in season one, too, right?
I kind of do, because we haven't seen that.
No, we haven't.
Like, and it's like, how would they deal with that? It would be kind of cool.
Like, literally, so it would be what Scream 2 was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I think that would be kind of fun. So then we have Karen Lang, the new psych teacher. I talked about Scream High, where you have one class a year. She's fine. There's not a whole lot to say about her in episode one. I like her, the actress. She's fine.
She takes the place of what a counselor should be as well.
And then we have Haley Myers, who I nicknamed Dude because she said dude a strange number of times and it stuck out to me.
Yeah. Dude.
Prankster / internet troll. All right.
Yep.
Let's talk about episode two. So, filler central.
For real.
I'm giving it a C-.
I was gonna say the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, there's a much more, it felt like a big step down for me. There's much more, what the fuck moments. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, like, why would you do this? This is so stupid. And also, like, they're trying to get us to be like, is she going crazy?
But we know Jake is dead.
Yeah, so she isn't going crazy. We know that. We know she's going to find out that she's not going crazy pretty quickly, because Jake's going to be found. And so it's just like, okay, we're doing this for some reason, because you have 14 episodes.
We have to undermine her stability. She has to undermine her own stability. But then she'll just be like, see, I wasn't crazy. Ha ha ha. Like, it just won't feel like as much of a victory.
Yeah.
Like, if we weren't sure about Jake's fate for a while.
Yeah.
That might have been.
Better.
A little better. At least there would be that. Like, oh no, someone is like definitely screwing with them. But it wouldn't be as intense.
And we also talked about how if they had been smart and had the cops check out the house instead of just going and checking out this house, then the cops would have found, oh, there's nothing here, and made Emma look crazy, and then there would be, like, a boy who cried wolf thing. It would be set up a whole bunch of, like, they would have been smarter, and it would have set up, like, the cops not trusting her.
Yeah.
Because it's understandable that she might be broken.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And it would have made Sheriff, it would have made him more... Not more sympathetic, but, like, more relevant to, and, like, he would already have reason to doubt. Like, he's new, but he would already have reason to doubt Emma's sanity. It's taking a lot for me to not say Clark. I'm sorry.
That's really funny.
They're both blonde.
The only thing I really liked in this episode was Audrey. But
let's
talk about some of the more, we have some more newcomers in this episode. We have Eli Hudson, who is Karen's cousin. Super Creeper number two.
So gross.
Yeah.
He was just gross.
Very creepy.
Who doesn't give their name at a meeting?
Yeah. So then we also meet Tina Hudson, who's Kieran's really sucky, trashy aunt. You know, she was gonna move Kieran, but Maggie and Eli convinced her it's in her best interest to stay.
Mostly because she can just use him.
Yeah, which, I mean, I didn't, like, love Eli and Tina, but it did add something to Kieran. And I did think that the aunt was, like, interesting and added, like, a different layer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, this poverty, like, this, we haven't had, like, low-income stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think it's going to be, like, great, great representation of that or anything. But she's interesting enough.
Yeah.
You know? And then we had some returning people who hadn't been back in a while. We had Quinn Maddox, which is Brooke's dad. We find out that he had some creepy plan with Jake. Which, you know, I'm kind of surprised they're doing another creepy plan with her.
So that's what I was going to say. Again, they're introducing, like, these creepy people who might be up to something. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like I can say with a good amount of certainty, Quinn isn't killing anybody.
Yeah.
Or not killing anybody, but he's not the one blackmailing Audrey.
But it is interesting that the killer knew that Jake was doing it, and was Jake going to do something that was going to screw up his plans? Like, what was that about? Or was he just following him? Also, there's the interesting layer of that the killer clearly snuck into Noah's place and stole that weird little toy thing that he distracted Jake with. That little pig alarm clock.
Oh, yeah. Thing. Wait, that was at Noah's?
Yeah, the first time you see it is when Noah's first on screen. He's playing with it. Oh, I was on the
phone.
Oh,
I totally didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Whoa. I missed that somehow. Yeah. Weird. I was eating a sandwich. That's probably how. But, and I also feel like Eli is new to town, and the aunt is new enough to town and rarely in town.
Yeah.
That they would be... Eli less so is innocent in my book, or, like, not a suspect of things. But, like, the aunt is kind of shady and trashy, but I don't think she has a greater
purpose
scheme, especially since if she was there, she would definitely be in Karen's house.
I'm just interested
time.
In what the two of them's purpose is for the show in general.
So that's what I'm thinking. I'm like they're not going to be part of this greater mystery in my book.
Yeah.
They're kind of either there to be murdered or not really serve a purpose.
I'm intrigued because I assume that they not only did they choose one relative, they put two, and I feel like there was a purpose for them. I just don't have no idea what it is yet, you know?
I mean, I agree, definitely. Oh, yeah, I would even say there are three relatives now.
Yeah.
The dad.
Kevin Duvall shows up. He found the worst possible way ever
freaking
to approach his
Kevin
daughter.
Kevin is the worst father ever.
Yeah, this was another, what the fuck moment. Like,
that was
why?
Just dumb.
Idiot.
That was just... the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
The other thing is they cut to commercial break with the car going after her, and I was like
speeding after.
And I was like, this clearly isn't the killer because you could clearly see it was a guy. And I was like, they wouldn't reveal in this episode that the killer was a guy.
No.
So like, but yeah, it was stupid. That was just plain. That was straight up stupid.
Yeah.
Like it was like why would anybody ever do that? Yeah, it was so stupid.
It was the worst. Like. That is, you stopped once.
Yeah.
Just freaking get out of the car at that moment. Don't chase after her and freaking, like, what? I was scared. It's like, don't, shut up. That's bullshit. That's terrible writing and character development.
Another stupid thing is Kieran telling Emma that even though she's seeing things from his point of view, that she shouldn't get treatment.
She, first of all, just because she's not in, like, inpatient treatment.
Yeah.
She... no doctor would approve her to not have, like, outpatient therapy continuing for, like...
and one would assume some sort of medication.
Yeah, even that, I could argue with that not being a thing or a necessary plot device.
Yeah.
But come on. They're replacing every form of actual health treatment with this psych teacher, who is also, I don't know if...
creepier at the next thing. Creepy recorder lady.
Yeah, she was saying, like, oh, you should learn how to trust people again. I'm like, bitch, you have a recorder in your bag. You can't speak about trust.
I didn't need this layer. I could have just been a nice mentor.
She really could have. Or not been in the...
Yeah.
Important at all.
Yeah, it's... I'm wondering if maybe she's being, like, blackmailed into getting information, which I think might be better than her just, like, being a dick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I will say the mental breakdown in the coffee shop was a little bit better than the mental breakdown from before.
It was more visceral.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, Emma, don't go back there. You're gonna have a breakdown.
Yeah.
And they kind of explained that nicely about her saying, I thought I could be here. So it's like she was underestimating herself, which in my mind is like, why do you think you can trust yourself to be there and be okay?
Well,
so that was kind of a nice
everything's
touch.
Everything's fixed because she has went to the dock and then had some nice sex.
And inspected the stab wound in the, not stab wound, but like the evidence of slashing in the dock the wood of the dock, and everything's hunky-dory, even though she saw a vision of the guy again.
Yeah, which I assume was actually the guy. It probably was, right?
I don't think that's a necessary...
I mean, I think the idea is that for the audience, you're like, is that the guy?
Yeah,
and that was the one moment where you actually were like, is she seeing things or not?
Just going back for a second, I feel like it would be really nice if there was some sort of group therapy for the Lakewood Six.
Yeah.
And that was their excuse for having Noah doing meta commentary, and it's like their time to be open. And yes, it might have been a more obvious, like, hitting it into your face about how everyone comes to terms with things in their own way. Yeah. For Noah, it's comfort like this. But I think it would have just made more sense.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that totally reminds me of my horror film, which the original concept all about. I wanted to go into it more, but the original concept was a grief counseling retreat, and so everybody there is messed up. Anybody can be a suspect because they're all screwed up in one way or another. So I think that would have been really cool.
Yeah.
And I actually, even maybe going on a retreat or something like that could have given them a new set of locations and like a new feel.
Personally, I don't think it would have even had to be a retreat. Yeah, it could still be in the high school classroom.
I'm just saying overall, like, I had kind of hoped that we weren't in the same places in season two.
And we are.
Yeah, I kind of wished we were in college or something. Give us a different, like, even if it was, like, snowing out, like, that would have been really cool.
So where the hell are they? If Kieran's aunt is from Atlanta.
One would assume she's close enough that she can visit once a month, especially with very little money. So, are they in the South? I thought they were in, like, the Northwest.
I thought so, too. I thought they were in, like, Washington State.
I don't know why we both thought that. Maybe they said it, maybe they didn't. I have no idea.
I know very little about lakes and what regions they
and
technically
woods.
Belong to.
Well, at least the weird dock sex was kind of hot.
Yeah, I like the fact that Emma... took her bra off. Like, obviously we don't see anything, but, like, so many shows are like, and now let's have sex with all of our clothes still on. Like,
that was a pretty solid sex scene.
But also, you went back to my anatomy issues. So clearly in the flashback, or in the fight scene on the dock, it looked like Emma was slashed, like, across her abdomen.
Yeah.
Like, there was blood across her shirt. Yeah. And then we see her scar, and it's like 2 inches long.
Yeah, so I get why you have an issue with that, but I do kind of like that they have that be an ongoing thing. Like, it should have been bigger, but I like that it bothers her, that she's insecure about it, and that it's an ongoing thing.
I'm fine with it bothering her, but, like, and I can see how being slashed feels like a violation, and people struggle with scars all the time, but I feel like for an abdominal wound, for it to be a 2-inch scar... And for you to just be like, I hate this scar.
It can't actually look bad, Olga.
It can't actually look bad. And that's stupid, because Brooke has a long scar on her arm.
Yeah.
That actually requires way more makeup.
Yeah.
Because you always see her arms.
Yeah.
So freaking give her a foot-long scar. That's badass.
Speaking of Brooke, she has a pretty lame arc in this episode, and it kind of feels to me like her character is regressing. Which I actually thought was funny, because Gustavo basically calls this out and is like, you'd think it would have had more of an effect on you. And it's kind of a bummer, because we both, I mean, I recently re-listened to our last episode, and we were both, like, super gung-ho about Brooke, because she actually did have a very good arc in season one.
She did.
And I hope they find a way to make this good, you know, going forward, but I did not love her in episode two. It was just kind of too, like, my boyfriend, blah.
I'm the Cosmo girl, but I'm not the Cosmo girl. And then sending the boob pic, and then being basically back in black lingerie.
Well, my favorite part, that I wrote this down and I tweeted this too. Remember, kids, if you send a boob pic, your boyfriend's murderer might see it instead.
Which is why if, god damn it, never mind, I'm not going to finish the sentence. People can infer what they like.
When
about...
Olga sends me boob pics, she makes sure I'm not murdered first.
I will from now on.
All right, so
practice safe sexting, guys.
and sexting. All right.
Oh God.
So the actually good plot we left for last: Audrey and Noah.
Woo!
So I liked Audrey threatening the hotel clerk.
Bisexual and the virgin.
That was cool. Noah is becoming a little bit suspicious. Maybe not as suspicious as he should be, given that phone call. But
and Audrey's convenient timing a minute later.
Yeah. So I really liked the ending with her discovering the body And that was a nice cliffhanger that somebody discovered the body. Somebody knows that there's a new killer out there for sure. But it's not everybody yet, which I think it was kind of... Now it's like, will she tell them? Will she hide the body? Like, what will she do? I think that's pretty cool.
And clearly this person knew about this storage unit.
Yeah.
And it's a really good thing that that Audrey stopped the hotel clerk from revealing it, because otherwise Noah would have found a way to go there, and it would have been, like, Audrey's incriminating evidence. Like, honestly, I don't think Audrey would have let Noah go there alone.
Yeah.
But even so, how would the killer know what Audrey is letting Noah do or not do? Mm. So that's kind of another dimension.
Now, I think it's interesting. I saw somebody say, oh, so, like, sarcastically, so now Audrey's afraid of dead bodies and stuff, because she, like, runs away at the end.
Does she?
Yeah, or, like, backs up and, like, freaks out or whatever. I don't know what it was.
She didn't seem that freaked out.
Yeah, I mean, she was mostly freaked out because they actually had her name, in my opinion. But I do want to say that if she was freaked out by Jake's body, that's actually interesting, because we still don't know what she's actually done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe a dead body is a big deal, because maybe she didn't kill anyone.
Mm-hmm. You know? She only hated people
and encouraged these
elitist snobs being eliminated.
Punished. And maybe she didn't even think about it as, like, murder. Maybe she wanted to, like, punish them and, like, maybe violently hurt them or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't know.
I mean, we still don't know what the deal was with her ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. I think I saw her in the trailer, I think. So I assume we're getting flashbacks, or she's going to have visions or something.
Right. But I definitely feel like Audrey wasn't just surprised, but she was like, Jake! Yeah. But then they zoom in on the words, and that's when she's like, oh no, my name is actually tied to this.
So, you mentioned Rachel, which reminded me. Do you think that there's any possibility that Piper and Audrey had a thing?
It feels like more of a sister-like relationship.
I'm just wondering if they'll ever go back to her being bisexual at all.
I hope they do.
Yeah, me too.
Especially since they did take the time in this episode to remind us of bisexual and the virgin.
Yeah.
So, and we've already been reintroduced in the premiere of Noah having crushes on girls and girls kind of liking his weird, nerdy, dark, twisty side, so to speak.
I do want to throw out, just so people don't correct us, it's bicurious.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah. I am not good. There we go. Dan. I'm just saying, now with this fun summer show, I'm like, loosey-goosey all the time. No research, no nothing. I'm going into it. I mean, I'm reading our outline, which Dan wrote, so...
All right, so we're going to get into our feedback, but before we do, if you want to be part of our feedback segments in the future, you can send us an email at thescreamcast@gmail.com. You can also check us out on at ScreamPod on Twitter, and I live tweet the episodes every week. You can also check out thescreamcast.wordpress.com, which has all of our podcasts on there. You know, we have our old Scream Queen stuff, our season one Scream stuff, the Scream movies 1 through 3, a couple other things like that.
Black Christmas, if anyone wants some Christmas in their summer.
Also, please rate us or review us on iTunes. That would be super fabulistical. And I think a few people have since our last time, but I can't really remember who had by that point and who hadn't. But thank you to everyone who has.
It's been a long time since we've done anything on this podcast. Yeah,
it's been like 9 months. Oh, what you mean? Well, on this part of the podcast, it's been 9 months. But before that, we did Scream 3 not that long ago.
Really? It feels like it was long.
It was like...
There's a long gap between like Scream 2 and Scream 3, too.
Yeah, it was basically... I think we did, like, Black Christmas in December, and then Scream 3 in, like, March or something, or April, maybe.
Huh. Well, we'll get back into the swing of things here.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to read the first email?
Sounds good. So this is from Colin, and it's regarding Episode 1. So, after much anticipation for the season 2 premiere, I have to say I enjoyed it. I was impressed they decided to kill off Jake for the first episode, but I see why, so they can stir it up. I don't like how the new male character is another sheriff's son person. He's a sort of mix between Kieran and Noah. I do like the addition of the new female. As far as the whole episode is concerned, I liked it as a whole. I liked the opening prank. I liked how Noah has his own podcast, and I like how they're also focusing on Audrey as well as Emma. I also liked the end of the episode cliffhanger, but what I liked most was the season 2 preview it had and the multitude of questions it leaves. I look forward to this season and to give each new podcast you guys will get. Oh, and to each new podcast you guys will give. This was more of my own review, but I'll ask you guys this. If you had to guess who the killer was right now, who would you go with? I'm going to take mine out of left field and say it's another two-person group. My guess is Troy James, Brandon James' brother, who wants revenge on the kids who brought back the spotlight on Brandon James, and his partner in crime, Seth Branson, who wants revenge on the Lakewood Six who ruined him.
I like the Seth Branson part. That's kind of fun. But he's clearly... If they were going to do that, he wouldn't be in the whole season, and then that would be kind of crazy that he just pops back up. But I'm not totally against that. Now, the question, I also feel like if Troy James is the killer, Troy James is secretly going to have been somebody we knew. It can't just be Troy James.
It can't just be Troy James.
So, do you have any? I don't really have a good guess.
Okay, here's my theory.
Yeah.
I suppose. I think there's got to be a greater mystery aside from the killings.
Yeah.
And I feel like so far, a lot of what we've seen is more about that.
Yeah.
So, I feel like the person blackmailing the psych teacher, or the reason the psych teacher is recording Emma, could be for Troy.
Yeah.
Like, she could be working with Troy to see how involved Emma was. Yeah. Like, is she a good person or a bad person? Mm. Like, is she happy about having killed Piper, who is the daughter of Brandon? Or is she, torn up about it?
Yeah.
I
have a guess. Sorry, did you want to...
No, I just don't really... I'm not capable of guessing.
Well, yeah, because so the hard thing is that both Eli and Gustavo seem way too obvious at the moment.
Yeah.
So I can't, it seems ridiculous to say them.
Yeah.
And Tina didn't even want to stay until he got convinced to stay. Unless
that was a red herring,
I guess. I mean, Zoe maybe, but I doubt, the only new person that I'm really suspicious about is the sheriff, who I'm it would actually be a very smart decision to make the sheriff the murderer, because then that explains why the cops suck.
Yeah.
You know? And he also is, one of the more nice, not creepy people right now.
Which could be on purpose.
And maybe something about, maybe he has a dark secret and that's why his son is all screwed up. But I also am wondering if any of our original cast members are a possibility. I feel like it can't be Brooke. It would be very hard to get me to believe it was Noah.
It's definitely not Audrey because she's being blackmailed.
I wouldn't mind if it was Kieran. I mean, because it would be kind of interesting, yes, it's, a trope to make it the boyfriend, but, now they already convinced us it wasn't the boyfriend.
Yeah.
It might, that kind of, I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah.
So, some options there.
I mean, and we know that the sheriff's son, Gustavo, right?
Yeah.
That he's up to something, because it's pretty obvious that he has Jake's phone.
Well, they made it seem very obvious. Maybe it was just a coincidence that then they're trying to give us a red herring.
Yes, but at the same time, then he follows Brooke to Jake's
house.
That's
true.
But she did say, did she say that she was going to Jake's house in front of him?
No, but he could have just been following her in general.
In general. Either way, he's stalkery.
Yeah, for sure. Something's going on.
Something is going on.
I mean, and there was that weird thing of a weird picture of Emma he had.
I feel Zoe said that she was also going through her own stuff and she needed Emma to help her work through that.
Yeah.
So could it be that Piper had another Audrey?
Well, that's the thing. So when she said that, I was like, this screams of Piper. But, it's too much like Piper that I hope that it isn't,
Yeah, but she's so unassuming and kind of still on the borders, on the outcast. She's very smart. She's kind of nerdy, a little weird, maybe.
And that could be explaining why she's, trying to get in with Noah, too.
Get in with Noah, get in with Emma and tutoring her. And I'm just saying, I'm not ready to say that she's just going to be a victim.
I just realized, I really hope the two killers aren't the two people that they added diversity with this season.
No, I think it can't be only new people.
Yeah, I think we have to have somebody old. Because I feel like Kieran's the only one that makes sense.
Hmm.
But we'll see. Unless it's Maggie, which would be crazy.
No. What about the dad?
Kevin. I mean, he's definitely a possibility. I mean, that would explain why he sucks so much. Yeah, maybe.
I just hope, like, that's the thing. If Kevin disappears again without being murdered in the next two episodes, it's just like, never mind, this is too much for me. I'll be like, all right, what was the filler? Thank you.
I mean, I guess he serves some potential purpose as far as showing, like, the dark side of what Emma could become or whatever, what she has to overcome.
That's true.
You know, so there's, like, interesting narrative stuff there, potentially.
Right.
I'm going to read Colin's episode two email.
Mm-hmm.
He says, this episode went by fast for me, a lot to get to. First off, I like the tension between Noah and the new girl, meaning Zoe, but I wonder if Riley will be brought up at all during this relationship between these two. My guess is no.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to be forgetting.
Secondly, I like how during their interview it showed that Audrey was the one making the call, but I feel like they made Noah look stupid there by just brushing off the phone call. I like how the new killer is utterly destroying Audrey, which brings me to my next guest at the killer. What if it's Emma? What if Emma found out it was Audrey, so Emma wants to finish the job and start a mental fuck, with Audrey? Oh, that sounds interesting.
Mind fuck sounds way better.
I'm the king of out of the ballpark predictions, but I feel like this could possibly be the answer. I like the reveal of Jake's dead corpse in the storage unit, which makes me think they put him in the storage unit. How did the second killer, third technically, get the key? Which makes me think it could still be Emma or maybe even Noah who wants to cement his role in slasher history, not as a survivor, but as the killer. Episode 3 should be interesting with the reveal of the storage unit to Noah. Expect an email quickly next week. All right. Got one last tweet.
All right. Good theorizing, by the way, yeah. Colin.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, like, a whole lot of stuff, and, man, Emma really is...
I mean, I'd be excited if it was. I would be excited if it was Emma.
It would add some personality to her, which would be... We're in favor of, clearly. Yeah. All right, so from...
And Brooke and Audrey could easily take over the roles of the main characters.
For real. They're strong enough.
Yeah.
All right, so from Connor64 Lynch... I was extremely disappointed with episode 2. First episode was really good. Well, this one was a filler with too much Emma/Kieran. Especially considering how good the first season was. Really hoping they step their game up. Next episode better be great.
Yeah, if 3 is, like, at the same quality as 2 or worse, I'm gonna be pretty upset.
I'm gonna be super not excited.
Yeah.
I'll be like, well, good thing we're only doing podcasts every 2 weeks. Yeah.
Alright, so I ended out this whole thing just by saying, okay, so now the games begin. We said who we thought killers might be, but my more interesting thing is, who do you think will die next? That's almost easier to guess, right? Because it's not going to be any of the Lakewood 6. I don't know. There are 5 at this
Although
point.
It was sketchy that Gustavo ranked them.
I liked that. I also
So who would number
them.
5 be?
Okay, so if we're assuming that Emma or Audrey... Emma and Audrey are 1 or 2. We don't know which one.
Yeah. 3 is Noah.
Four is Brooke. So Kieran is 5.
Kieran is 5, right. I forgot about Kieran.
This is another thing, like I was saying about if they kill Jake, it ruins Brooke. If they killed Kieran at this point, Emma would just, like, kill herself.
Yeah, Emma would be done.
So you can't kill Kieran. You could kill...
You could arrest him.
You could kill Haley. You could kill...
Who's Haley?
The prankster girl.
Oh, right.
You could kill Brooke's dad.
I was gonna say Quinn.
Yeah, you could kill... But then you're killing 2 of Brooke's people at once.
I know, I was thinking that, too. But that could be on purpose if there are multiple killers at work,
Of the new people.
Like, after Jake is killed... And if Gustavo is, like, creepy and stalking, and he could see a negative relationship between Brooke and her dad, he'd be like, but I saved you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hope Eli gets killed next, because I don't
Eli
like
is in the long game. I don't know what his purpose is, but it's not good.
Yeah.
Rita.
Who's Rita? You mean Tina?
Tina. I reversed them.
Close enough, yeah.
No, but that's killing too many adults.
That's the thing is, I'm wondering if they're really going to do like what they did last year, where they really are not killing that many people, because there's not that many people to kill.
There really aren't.
Like, you can't kill Eli or Gustavo anytime soon. You can't kill the sheriff anytime soon.
No.
You could kill Zoe, but it would feel stupid.
If they kill her... Like, with the same amount of time as
Riley.
That
would be really dumb.
You could kill Noah.
I think...
If he gets too close.
I think Noah and Brooke and Kieran are all on the table to die this season. And even Audrey. I just don't think they're going to die soon.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, my official guess is probably Haley.
I think you're right. Haley is probably next because she's just...
And she might know
in it enough.
Yeah, and she might know too much.
The desk clerk might end up dead.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because he will know information.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Oh yeah, Kevin's good one.
Kevin's probably.
It's another one though. Where it's like, are you gonna do that to Emma right now?
I mean, but she probably won't have like she'll have the like thanks to me, another person is dead.
Yeah.
But it won't be like, oh no, a man I loved and cared about and saw as a father is dead. Yeah. Oh no! Like if she has, if she forgives him in the next episode, I will be very unhappy.
Yeah. They need to introduce more, like, they need to, like, widen their net with more side people so we can have more just, like, you know how they had that really stupid death at the end of the finale with that kid we'd never seen before?
Oh, yeah. I was gonna say, like, you mean, like, those FBI agents who showed up and immediately turned tail and left? Like, that kind of side character?
Well, no. They need, like, so we can have small deaths like that, but at least build them up somewhat and, like, throw out a couple episodes just in the background, you know? Like, someone, like, more people like Haley.
Yeah.
You know?
But well,
we'll see.
We'll see.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to our
ramblings,
our spooktacular, and we'll be back 2 weeks from now with episodes 3 and 4. So send out your feedback on those two episodes. Hope you guys like them. Hope they're better. And I don't know how we end this out. Scream you later.
No, no, veto.
Veto.
We'll see you next summer. AKA 2 weeks.
Good one.
No, that was terrible. We're both not funny. All right. No. Let's end it on that
Somebody
note.
Help us. Bye.
Bye.